thank you for inviting me back. That seems surprising. it was great to be with you. I don't know when it was last year sometime, but it was great to be able to kind of come and share today. I always know that God's going to do something when I write a really good sermon. I have a big whiteboard, and I'm not proud enough. I wrote a really good sermon for you. And I always know that God's going to do something different and quite significant, though, when he wakes me up and says, this morning at 6 o'clock, and said, no, do something else. This is what I want you to do. So at 6 o'clock this morning, I was there in my pajamas with my whiteboard rubbing it all off and kind of going, oh, that's a great, well, I took a photograph of it first. I think that's important because, you know, because I was thinking, that'll do some other time, but I'm having that one. But then this morning it was like, okay. And then started again. The Lord really is just putting, he wants to restore the weary warriors amongst you. He wants to restore the weary warriors amongst you. And I think that's wonderful. We've been praying for you. So there's a team, so I'm going to invite them up. So Pamela and Bea and Rosie are here with me, and they're going to just share. So we've been praying for you, and they've been praying for you. Come on, Rosie, it's okay. And there you go. And they've got different things. So just listen to the kind of different things that they've got. You'll probably pick them up as they share, and it'll make sense to you as it all comes together, I think. So off you go, Rosie.
God gave me a picture, and I saw three balloons, and they were filled with helium. And he showed me the colours of them, and one was blue, and one was yellow, and the other one was green. And they were all attached to a bar. And I believe that God wants to say that we may feel stuck, but I just want to encourage you that God's Spirit is here. And he just wants to give you revelation and hope and restoration and healing. And in that picture, I then saw a sword, a silver sword, come and cut the string and release. So it's all about you being lifted up in God's grace, that he will cut the strings and he will lift you up.
That's great.
As I was praying, what I really felt in my spirit was to read a parable. Who doesn't like a story? So let's start with the story. So it's about the parables of the wise and the foolish virgins. Matthew 25:1-13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But when the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell, but for yourselves." And while they went by, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore. You know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So what I really felt from the scripture is I felt that there here in this congregation, there are people God has given you a promise to wait upon. It's a godly, God-given vision, will of God promise. And you know that you know that you know. And I feel that you've been waiting on God for so long, and there's been delay in your personal and as a congregation. And I feel that God really wants to, because of the delay, there's been tired, weariness, and just frustration that has filled your heart, mind. And like Alan said about the wounded warriors, I feel that has caused you to, it kind of became a blurred vision, and doubt has crept in. And I really feel that God really wants to, and that caused a burnout in the spirit. Just the wise, you know, the unwise virgins who didn't take the oil. It caused, the delay caused frustration, tiredness, weariness. So God really wants to lit that lamp again. Holy Spirit really wants to fill you up again. To see the vision correctly from his perspective without all those frustration, tiredness. I really feel that for you today. So, yeah, God bless you.
Thank you.
So what I've got is quite similar to Bea as well. I felt very much there's a group of people who are hungry, who have been really seeking God, who want more of the things of the Spirit, who want to go higher, who want to see more of the miraculous, who want to see more of the power of God displayed, more of the fruit in ministry, more people come into faith, these type of things. And there's people that are just really going after those things, and they've been going after those things for quite a long time. And I saw in the spirit a ceiling, a glass ceiling, and I saw there was times it's like when you popped your head up for a bit through the glass ceiling, and there was bits of breakthrough and bits of fruit for ministry, but there was times where you just felt you were sinking again back under the glass ceiling. And I feel that's for individuals who've been promised things, as Bea said, in ministry, who've got promises, prophetic promises of God. But I also feel that is for you as a church as well. There's been times when you've seen levels of breakthrough. There's been times when you've seen levels of fruit. But God just wants to break off limitations, break off containment, break off things where you can start to move to far higher levels in the things of seeing fruit in ministry, having revelation, moving more in the things of the Spirit, moving more in supernatural signs and wonders, and seeing your prophetic promises and the prophetic destiny of this church that's been promised come to pass. I feel there's been promises that people know in this congregation, especially some of the older people. There's people in this congregation know that they know that they know God spoke years ago, and he promised certain things for this church's destiny, and they've not yet seen it come to pass. Whoa. Yeah, and God is saying, you know, yeah, he just wants to lift off any weariness, any discouragement. He wants to restore hope. And just wants to break off, deal with the things that have caused the glass ceiling. And I feel that there's keys for the leadership in some of the things that happened in the foundational things of this building even. There's keys to seeing that broke open and the glass, any limitation or containment, and seeing much more higher levels and fruit in the Spirit and fruit in ministry.
Amen. Amen. So, what the scriptures say, thank you. What the scriptures say is that we should have two or three people should come and prophesy, and then we should weigh what they say and think about what they say. And it's been interesting. So, the journey down was interesting because I kind of because we had a wee kind of like, okay, what have you got to share today moment, and they were kind of, and that's what they shared, and I said, that's interesting, because I think it does actually flow together with what the Lord has given to me. If you have your Bibles, then we're going to read together from the Psalms, and we're going to read Psalm 23. Probably manage it without our Bibles, but let's read them anyway. So open your scriptures, open the board to Psalm 23, because what the Lord wants to do today is he wants to restore your soul. He's coming to restore your soul. That's what this restoration of the weary warriors is about. That's what these promises that you have been living with, but have pushed for, but have actually kind of like, you know, have kept faithfulness for, but haven't yet seen. You know, the Lord wants to just restore your soul and actually bring you into that place where he is able to bless you in the way that he wants to. So the Lord is my shepherd, and listen to this, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And so we say, Lord, restore our souls. Restore our souls where we are weary, where we have been faithful and fought and fought and fought and fought, and we have fought ourselves to stand still. And we just stand in front of you so weary, sometimes not even able to stand, because we have done everything that we know how to do. And you say today that you come to restore our souls. And so we receive your word. You're the good shepherd. We lack nothing. You're the one that comes to restore us. Would you do this, we pray? Amen. So I want to tell you my story. So I want to give you my testimony, really, of what God's been doing with me over the last wee while. And so I've been a church leader now for 25 years. And I've been a Christian for 38 years. I'm almost 50, so I'm almost there. I'm 50 this year, so I've been a Christian for quite a long time. And I'll be honest with you, over the years, I have been up for anything as far as my kind of pursuit of God is concerned. Everything and anything. I was actually telling someone the story yesterday about when I was 16 years old and I went on a holiday club summer mission type thing, And they were doing what they described as kind of like it was a leader's hunt, basically. And all the leaders were supposed to dress up and kind of like go around this particular town in it's a place called Lossiemouth, right up in the Murray Firth of Scotland. Lovely, beautiful place. 16 years old, they said to me, do you know what you should wear? You should go out wearing a grass skirt, Alan. I have to say that I was a lot smaller then than I am now. But I said, yeah, okay, I'm up for anything. So I had this beautiful grass skirt, which I had to wear, and walked around Lossiemouth with a grass skirt on, waiting to be found by the rest of the things. And it was now that I think about it, it was horrible. It was a terrible, terrible thing to make someone who's 16, naive, didn't know any better. You should definitely do that. I'm sure I could, if I actually thought about it, I probably can hear the laughter of the team as I walked out the door, as the kind of leaders went, I can't believe you fell for that. I can't believe you actually did that. But okay, off he goes. Anyway, I remember doing that. And I remember, you know, I've been up for, just doing anything. Whatever the Lord wanted me to do, whatever, you know, would move things forward, I'm up for it. I remember going to Africa for the first time. and getting to baptize people and thinking that was really going to be exciting until we went to the place that they were baptizing them. And the guy sort of said, right, muddy river, very muddy river. And there was a guy here about sort of 3 feet away from me and a guy here about 3 feet away from me. And they both had huge, great big bamboo poles. And I was kind of thinking, this is unusual. What's going on here? And the guy said, if the guys with the poles start whacking the water really hard close by you, get out really quickly. There will be either a really large snake or some sort of, and they sort of said, I think it was an alligator. Do you have alligators in Africa? No, whatever it was. Crocodile in Africa, yeah. And they said, get out the water. You have never seen people being baptized so efficiently as they did that. So I was like, I'm standing in the kind of in the water, and like, and basically they were kind of being grabbed from the side, and like, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Woo! In the name of the Father, you know. So, yeah, I'm up for anything. I'm willing to do any of these sort of things. I love all of that kind of stuff, and that's been great. And I've just been willing to pursue whatever God's given to me. I've, you know, done all sorts of things. In the last 3 years, in the church in Glasgow that we're part of, we've seen 93 first-time conversions in the last 3 years, right? And we've seen more people making commitments to Jesus in that time than in the previous 20 years. You want to think about kind of, you know, breaking glass ceilings. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? So, 93 conversions in the last 3 years. But, and this is the thing I want to tell you, but there's only a handful of them in the church now. And actually, and that's not because of the fact we didn't try and disciple them. It's for a whole variety of different reasons. They've come, they've committed, and then they've disappeared again. And I have experienced in the last three years probably some of the greatest levels of disappointment in ministry that I've ever had. I don't know about you, but I love to see people come to Jesus. I love to see them come to Jesus. And so we were kind of like celebrating like crazy, you know. There's another one come to faith. There's another one come to faith. There's another one come to faith. And now we look around the church and we say, where are they? Where's the harvest that we were promised? Where have they gone? And I have to say that I've lived with a level of personal disappointment that has caused me to really just struggle in terms of my walk with God. Over the years, I've always kind of known that one of the things that God wanted to do was He wanted to make sure that I was healthy enough to be able to do all the things that God's called me to do. And so so I've always struggled with my weight. I've always struggled, I've always been big, but I've always struggled with my weight. And actually, I'm now the heaviest that I have ever been in all of my life. And that's a real problem for me. It's a problem for a whole variety of different reasons. But anyone who has actually struggled with weight, and especially over a long period of time, those of us who have struggled with weight know what it's like to try to lose weight and then to put it back on again and get a bit more weight on top. And then you try again and then you lose it and then it goes back on again and you get a bit more. And actually, over the years, what has happened is I really believe that actually God has spoken to me, and I actually got a prophetic word that sort of said, the more weight you lose, the more harvest you'll see. As if the pressure wasn't strong, you know, wasn't on me already. It's like, I'm going, okay, thank you. That's a great word. I really appreciate that. But actually, what I think has happened is that in one sense, I realize it's a very sort of personal thing, but actually it's the personal things that really will get you. You know, it's the things that are close in that really matter. And so for me, I want you to know that I've tried everything. You know, I've gone for, you know, I've done the kind of the weights watcher type things. I've been on, you know, I've done the shakes. I've done the, you know, I've done the kind of, I did a 40-day, I've done 3 40-day water-only fasts, thinking that it was a spiritual issue and I would break it by actually kind of just pursuing a spiritual answer. I've been to the doctor. The doctor's given me kind of all sorts of pills and potions, how to inhibit this, and if you eat that, and then you, all sorts. I've been to the weight management clinic. I've done all this sort of stuff. And where it's left me is feeling defeated. Defeated and, to be honest with you, broken and in a place where I just think, I don't know if I can try again. I don't know if I can try again. I've tried, I've got to the point, where I've sort of said, I don't know if I can cope with the disappointment of trying and failing again. And some of you understand that. Those of you who have not had issues around weight, you won't understand that, but you'll know something that's similar to that in your own experience, that you've tried again and tried again and tried again and tried again, and just got to the point where you feel broken and defeated. And so what happens is you get into that place where actually you say, I can't go again. I can't go again. Look at the practice nurse and stand on our scales again, and for her to say, I'm sorry, Mr. McWilliam, but you actually weigh more than my scales. You'll have to go and be weighed somewhere else. And I'm just like, and everything inside me just like wants to die inside at that point. I'm just going, oh, God. Because I have this thing, I have this word in my head that sort of says, the more weight you lose, the more harvest you're going to get. Now, that isn't actually so much of an issue. I can kind of cope with that, but I know that God wants me healthy and fit. So I actually know that it is right. Whether that particular thing is helpful is another matter. But I know that God wants me healthy and fit. But the problem about it is actually, you get into the place where you just feel, I just don't want to, I genuinely don't want to try again. And because I cannot cope with the thought that actually, I'll just get nowhere. And so what happened, what's the consequence of that is that for me, the consequence of that is that actually, along with this thing of disappointment about losing the harvest, and then this whole thing of, this constant battle around kind of like just, weight and being obedient in terms of eating, drinking, exercising, all that kind of stuff, what happens is that actually it seeps into my spiritual life. Because if you have defeatedness in any of these areas, it affects you. It affects you in terms of being able to pray for people, being able to speak to people, being able to kind of like have faith in anything that's going on. And so what happens is you begin to sort of step away from God, and you begin to kind of sort of say, I'm going to kind of, I'm, and I think that probably the best way to describe it is, and this is as a church leader, you end up with a very professional relationship with God. And that's what it's like. It's like the boss. Okay, I'll do what you tell me. I'll pray. I'll still pray. I'll still preach. I'll still do the things you tell me to. But my heart isn't in it. My heart isn't in it because my heart is actually so broken. And so, I look at the things that God is sort of saying, and I think, well, I don't know how to do that. I feel defeated. And so that had been going on for a while. Probably, I don't know, for a year, something, a long time anyway. And so I'd kind of, you function. You can still function. You can still turn up and, you can still sing in the band and, you can still do stuff. It's not like I'm not following Jesus. I mean, I still believe in Jesus. I believe in the gospel. And the crazy thing is you can still pray for people and they get blessed by God. I mean, that's bonkers, But that's the way that God works. He's so gracious. I mean, he still flows through people. But what happened, certainly for me, was I just kind of got to that place where I thought, I can't cope with this. I don't know what to do. So what I then did, and I think this is not a Scottish reaction. I kind of think it probably is a bit of a Scottish reaction to kind of go, what I really need is to get a good slap. Would that go for you here as well? I don't know. But in Scotland, you know, what we'd expect is, you know, you get a kind of, we would describe it as a skate round the ear from your mother, you know. So I'm expecting God to give me a skate, you know, come on, get your act together. So much so that over the last wee while, I have gone to lots and lots of prophetic ministry, lots and lots of prophetic conferences, some quite weird and wonderful things, actually, because genuinely I thought at some point what's going to happen is, because what I was looking for is a kind of like somehow a kind of kick start out of where I was. You know, what I just need is God to kind of like go, come on, sort it out. And somehow that was going to get me back on the kind of the wagon again. I was going to kind of get going again. And I went to ministry after ministry after ministry. And do you know what I actually heard during each of those times? I heard you. You're my boy. Every single time, I expected to get a slap, and God said, "You're my boy, and I love you, son. I've not given up on you." And it still gets me. I mean, it's just, I would go to these meetings and I would hear these things, and then what would happen is, I would think, oh well, yeah, that's the first part of the message, but come on, give me the rest. And you know, and the prophetic folks would sort of say, no, that's all we've got. You know, so this is the thing that when you feel like a weary warrior, when you feel defeated, when you feel that you can't go again, when you feel as though you've failed, where you feel as though you've got to the end of yourself, do you know what God does? God comes and he says, I love you. I love you so much. You're my boy. You're my boy. And nothing's going to change that. It is the kindness of God that leads to repentance. It is his kindness, which he wants to release upon you today. His kindness, his loving mercy, that he wants to release on those of you who feel that you have fought your way to a standstill. Those of you who feel that you are defeated and broken, who can't get any further, who if anybody comes up and gives another sermon about how we just need to try a wee bit harder, then you'll be the one that will come and give them a slap. And that's not what the Lord is saying. That's not what he's saying today. He's not saying that to you at all. He's saying, I love you. You're my boy. You're my girl. I love you. I've not given up on you. I've not given up on you. The king has come to take the sword out of the stone, to unstuck you. That's what he's doing. And he's not doing it by giving you a whack around the head. He's coming to give you his love, lavish his love upon you. So, I've kind of I've decided to give it another go, and so I've stepped up again, and I've stepped in again, and I want to say that, you know, I've done so in a whole variety of different ways. So I've gone for counselling, and I've gone for SOZO. I've gone for restoring the foundations. Basically, I kind of thought, who are all the people that could help me here? Fine, just do it. You know, let's do it. Go. Bring on all your stuff. I'm ready for it. I went to a meeting 2 weeks ago up in Edinburgh, a guy called David Hogan. Don't know if you've ever heard of David Hogan. He raises people from the dead in Mexico and various other places as well. Not in Edinburgh yet, but I think that might happen. But So anyway, so my attitude was, I'll go anywhere, you know, because I'm just ready to kind of get this stuff sorted. I just wanted, whatever I need to do, I'll do. I'm at that place. And the help is helping. I want to say that, you know, the help is helping. So I have a few lessons that I think I've kind of want to share with you. And I hope these help. So these are the things I've been thinking about as the Lord has been restoring my soul. First of all, to say, everybody struggles. That's the first lesson. Everybody struggles. Okay? And even the ones that are extremely spiritual and shiny at the front. Da-da-da-da. You know, we all struggle. So listen, if you're struggling, don't hide it. Don't think that somehow it's just you. That's what the enemy does. He separates us off and he isolates us. It's not just you. We're all in this together, okay? We're all dealing with this stuff. Don't worry about it. Everybody struggles. And actually, we can all get help. It's okay. Doubt, unbelief, bitterness, you know, whatever it is that's happening. The kind of, when you get to the place where you just feel, you know, I'm not worthy in any sense to be used by God in any way whatsoever. If that's you, don't worry about that. Because the Lord has come today to restore your soul. The Lord has come today to speak his word over you that says, you're my boy. You're my lassie. And I love you. I love you. Everybody struggles. That's the first thing. Second thing is this, that it's actually about being transformed by the renewal of our mind. Most of the stuff is actually not to do with whether or not I eat or drink or exercise properly. That's what I've discovered. What I discovered is actually it's to do with the renewal of my mind. It's to do with actually seeing life as God sees it and actually allowing his word, his reality, his way of seeing life actually become my way of seeing life. Because what happened up till then was I'd kind of looked at the circumstances and I'd been affected by other people's worldviews and so on and so on. And actually, what I've had to do is I've had to go back to the scriptures and I've had to actually sort of say, these are the truths. I am a new creation. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am a living sacrifice. You know, my body is a living sacrifice. I offer it to him willingly today. And I've actually had to take these scriptures and I've had to kind of like pound them into myself day by day. And listen, it takes work. It takes work. I'm having to work at it. I'm having to actually have some, you know, every day I'm having to kind of just go back to the scriptures again and again and again and again. Because every day, you know, I fall back into the rut. Because actually it is a rut. I've been in a rut for a long time. It's hard to get out of it. And the Lord is actually creating a new pathway in my life. So something, and that's predominantly to do with the transformation of my mind, which actually brings renewal. That's the second thing. So we all struggle. It's actually almost all about renewing our mind, allowing the Lord to do that. The third thing is this, and this might seem a strange thing, but actually one of the things I've learned is this: the Lord needs me, and the Lord needs you. And that might seem, again, a strange thing to say, but he's chosen to limit himself in terms of how he functions in the world. And the reason why he needs us is because what I have seen and what I am seeing, and I believe it's probably true here as it is in Glasgow, what I'm seeing is this: there is more harvest now than I have ever seen before. Been in ministry 25 years, been a Christian for a lot longer than that. There's more harvest now than I've ever seen before. Trump, Brexit, austerity, all sorts of things are going on in the world that are causing huge shaking to happen in people's lives. And it is resulting in them becoming, asking the question, is this it? Is this really it? Is this what's going on? And unfortunately, I think that's why we're also sort of seeing the suicide rates moving up as well. The hopelessness is massively increasing.
But the thing is that hopelessness can lead into desperation, which can lead into gospel hunger. And I see more people hungry for the gospel than ever before. We can be confident of this. But listen, he needs harvesters. He needs workers for the harvest field. So he needs us, and he needs me to get ready, and he needs you to get ready. You know, so actually, you matter. You really do matter. It does matter whether or not you're well and going with the Lord, and actually that you're allowing him to restore your soul today. And then the last thing I want to kind of sort of say before we move into ministry is this. Then actually, I believe that the Lord, so the other lesson I've been learning is the Lord is resetting my normal. What's normal? So the Lord is resetting my normal. When you stand in that sort of place where you're defeated and broken and you're functioning, you know, in terms of your relationship with God, but you're not really pressing forward, what happens is that your normal becomes enough. So enough is enough. So doing enough for the Lord is enough. And that becomes normal. That was my normal. So enough. And the Lord has really been challenging me as I've been allowing him to kind of impact me with his word. And what he's been saying to me is, what's your normal? Is it just enough? And I had the conversation with him about this, and he was sort of saying, and I kind of sort of said, no, it's my best. And he said, no, that is not Christian normal. Even your best isn't Christian normal. Everything is supposed to be the Christian normal. And again, he's been challenging me around that. And so what does that actually mean? When it's boiled down, well, I mean, it's actually to do with taking risks again. It's about being willing to try again. It's about being willing to pray for the sick when I have seen some people healed, but lots of people not healed. And the temptation is to stand back because I can't cope with praying for another person if they're not going to be healed. That's where I was, and the Lord is saying, all in. My reality, not yours. Step in again. Take a risk again. Try again. Trust me again. Risk again. Risk in terms of these ministries. Risk in terms of relationship building as well. You know, being willing to actually let other people come into my life and engage with them. These are the things that I've been learning. These are the things I've been thinking about. The Lord will restore our souls in different ways. For you, there'll be different lessons. These are just some of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me about. You'll realize that this is not rah, 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 try harder message. You know, I don't think that's what's going on. I sense the presence of the Father here. I sense his presence just to come and to speak to you in the way that he's spoken to me, and to say to you, if you feel defeated, if you feel that you're a weary warrior, if you feel as though you need to have your soul restored, if you feel as though you're actually in the place where you've tried and 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 you can't possibly try one more time, if you feel like that, then the Lord is here today for you, and he comes to restore your soul. And he comes to offer you that wonderful medicine, which is his love, his loving kindness lavished upon you. So let's just be quiet. And I'm going to invite the band up, and they're going to lead us in a minute. We're going to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And it's a beautiful song. It just kind of encapsulates so much of what I hope our response will be. But I particularly just want to encourage you, just as we kind of in this place, just start receiving from the Lord. Father, I ask that even as we sit where we are, that we will hear once again your message, that you love us, and that you say to us, you're my boy, you're you're my girl. I love you. I've never given up on you. Father, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you never give up. You never turn away. I thank you for your relentless, reckless love. I thank you that you leave the 99 behind and you come after us, the one. We think about that as being about the lost. And it is about the lost, but it's also about us. That there are some times where we get lost again. And so, Lord, you come after us and you never give up and you never stop. And today you come to restore the weary warriors. And so I just want to, I want to invite you just to sing along as the band lead this song. And I'm going to invite the team from Glasgow and also the leaders, Neil, and the other leaders here to come and pray. And if you feel it today, that actually what I've been saying is right, yeah, oh my goodness, absolutely. I feel like a weary warrior and I need the restoration of my soul. Then just come forward. We're going to pray for you. And you know what? Nobody's going to slap you around the head. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. The Lord's not going to do that. What's going to happen is you're going to hear the word of love. So just as we worship, just come forward and we'll pray for you.